afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, March 13th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, the world, or the East Coast anyway, is bracing for that late winter storm. I'm not sure if we'll get hit on the coast. Still have a big question mark as to whether we'll get some sort of a mix or somewhat, but shouldn't be too severe other than wind. But there's reports of, 12 to 18 inches of snow in central PA and going up the coast, Philly and so forth. So a late winter storm, and everyone is brave. I say it's going to affect like 115 million people. So, in fact, the meeting with Angela Merkel was actually postponed because of the winter storm until Friday with the White House with Mr. Trump. So, they are taking it seriously, and we'll just see if the weathermen are correct. The one thing about having a winter storm this late in the year is it's not going to hang around very long. So you don't have to look to snow for the next 3 months. It'll probably be gone in a week, so, or less.
I took a ride in a cab on Friday, and they'd also had serious winter storms out on the East Coast at that time. They'd closed down. Something had happened in one of the airlines. At least one of them had shut down airline traffic. The reason I mention it is because the cab driver was African. Right, black guy, and he spoke with odd accent. He was clearly not born in this country, and I assume he was from Africa. And I asked him, how's business? And he says, slow. I asked him why. He says, because of the storm. Here we are in Dallas, right? But the storm that shut down air flights coming out of New York City, or the East Coast at least, didn't get to Dallas, and therefore there is less traffic for cab drivers to pick up, less fares for the cab drivers to pick up. And I just thought it was interesting and odd that here's a guy from Africa, right? He's not fluent in English language, for sure. He just doesn't have much fluency there. And yet, he understands enough about economics to understand that he is slow in Dallas because they're having bad weather on the East Coast. I thought that was pretty remarkable that ordinary person would be making that connection. So it was just interesting to me. And here it looks like this is like the government complaining that the reason the economy was slow is because it was cold in the wintertime. It did that for a couple of times in the last few years, and also warm, exceedingly warm in the wintertime. That slows the economy down. It's that Goldilocks thing. You got to have the weather's got to be just right. You understand?
Well,
not too hot, not too cold.
I think when it comes to cabs, many of them do get their fares from the airport. So, and I believe they do control the number of cabs and so forth that come in there because they want to make sure everybody gets an equal or whatever fare. But anyway, it's so I could see why he would understand that.
But it was surprising to me. It was surprising.
Where have you been, Alfred?
I've been here in Dallas, here in Texas, and the rest of that sort of thing. But still surprised me.
Well, gold surprised me a little bit today. It's still holding at 1205.10. 1205.10 in the New York spot after market, just down a couple cents. You have silver down a few pennies, 0.07 at 1704. These are pretty much the same numbers that they opened up with. There was a little fluctuation throughout the day, but I mean, this is pretty much what we opened up with this morning. Platinum was down 3 at 943, and palladium was up 7 at 758. The USDX today was down 0.03 at 101.35. Crude oil was down 0.04 at 48.45. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow down 21 points. 20,881. The NASDAQ was up 14, 5,875. And the S&P pretty much unchanged, 2373. You have the 10-year yield back up over 2.6 at 2.61. Euro is 107. And Hong Kong had a good night overnight, up 1%. Everything else is pretty much, few points nothing to write home about. There are some things going on this week. Of course, everyone is viewing a quarter point by the Fed as a sure thing. It's a virtual certainty with the jobs report on Friday. So everyone is, you know, the meeting starts tomorrow. The Bank of Japan is set to keep its rates and yield curve policy unchanged. Their decision comes on Thursday. The Bank of England, Swiss National Bank, and the Bank of Indonesia, they're also expected to stand pat with their policy decisions. The Netherlands election, they take place on March 15th. And, you know, things are really getting heated up between the Netherlands and Turkey. And I have a couple of things on that we'll see if we can't get to today. But, you know, Turkey's kind of coming a little unglued, but you have some earning reports coming out with a couple of companies, no big deal there. G20 finance ministers, they're gathering in Germany for a series of meetings. OPEC, busy week. OPEC on tomorrow will release its latest monthly report, which will offer an insight into the pace of production cuts, and the IEA will also release similar tomato, tomato data on Wednesday. Also, what's interesting, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon said she's going to start the legal process of preparing for a second independent referendum. So that's kind of interesting since it didn't pass the first time. A couple years ago, they're going to reinstate and that wouldn't take place until 2018, I think, is the projected to where the people would vote on. So whether it gets done sooner remains to be seen, but I think I saw the projection date as sometime in 2018, which is only a silly little year away, so it's not that far away. And again, it just shows so much of these movements that are, you know, saying, hey, we don't want to be involved in this globalization of our countries anymore, whether they truly understand what's going on and so forth. And, you know, if they understand things will get difficult remains to be seen. But a lot of these places, particularly in the European nations and the people, they understand what tough times are. And when they're ready to take back their country, they go through the process. They do it, you know, until the next time they sit back, relax, and it starts all over again. U.S. subprime auto lenders, they are losing money on car loans at the highest rate since the aftermath of 2008. As more borrowers fall behind on payments. This is according to the S&P Global Ratings. Losses for the loans annualized were 9.1% in January from 8.5% in December, and of course 7.9% in the first month of last year. They did release this data last week, the end of last week. The rate is the worst since January 2010. And, of course, is largely driven by worsening recoveries after the borrower's default. There was a flood of used cars has hit the market after manufacturers offered generous lease terms. Recoveries on subprime loans fell to 34% in January, the worst since 2010. Something interesting.
And by recoveries, do you mean repossessions of the
correct.
Vehicle?
Correct. Okay. Correct. And here was something else, too. You know, everybody talked about the big
39%.
Yeah.
That's pretty stiff.
Yes, it is.
And it's not as if it's all over. I mean, it's evidence that the subprime loans, it may have been done to stimulate the economy and try to get some money into the hands, get some money moving around in this economy, but you have to wonder, did it really make sense? It might have seemed like a good idea at the time, but in retrospect, I have to wonder.
And they did it before, as you know, as part of the cycle, part of the process. They'll do anything for a buck. You know, hey, if we have to give these loans and create the cycle all over again, as some prime loans, we're going to do it. Nobody says anything. Nobody stops us. Nobody complains. The people getting the cars are happy to drive a new car for a couple years, and you know they get the money for. Hey. It's the American way, Al.
Well, it's not just that they get the money. They also get the debt instrument, which in theory they can still put together in some of these bonds, move them around, sell them, make money off the debt instruments themselves, and maybe more than the value of the vehicle. So it is, you know, it is a peculiar and strange kind of racket that we're running for an economy right now, based on too many smart people. Right? To, hey, I got an angry deal. We could do this. We could get rich doing this. Well, maybe we don't need to get rich with all these hustles. Maybe it'd be a better idea if we didn't get so rich and we might be able to hold this together for a longer period of time, but we shall see.
Oh, ow.
What?
You don't think, do you think people will actually turn down and money? Say they don't want to be rich for the sake
No, I don't think that, but I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm saying that maybe it wouldn't be. I know it's a crazy idea, and I don't expect it will ever catch on, but still, it's the sort of thing that, you know, I think you can look at and think about and say, you know, that might not be such a bad idea.
Well, you know, Friday we had the jobs report. The economy created 235,000 jobs. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And the big gain was ascribed to the weather. The warmest February in 100 years. And we did see construction. They went on a hiring binge. And you would think that with all this exuberance and all this money creation and incomes and wages being increased, that they would be out there spending, going to restaurants, but nope. Particularly for restaurants, same store restaurant sales in February dropped 3.7%, and foot traffic dropped 5.0% from a year ago. This comes after a January report, which for the first time in a while, some sort of gloomy optimism for the restaurant industry, flat sales. And so same store sales growth was flat, and even after all these jobs were created in February, they're still down. So it's interesting to see that when you have stock markets at 21,000, where you think people would be making tons of money, when you have 235,000 job creation in February with warm weather, they're not staying. You wouldn't think they would stay home when the weather is so nice, but in fact they did. And so it's an interesting it just doesn't support the great news about our economy.
It doesn't support the idea that public confidence is as significant, is as great as some people imagine.
Exactly.
It suggests people are taking a wait-and-see attitude and hanging on to every dime they have, they are reluctant to spend and perhaps more inclined to save right now and see what's going to happen. You know, it's like the market reports that you gave earlier in the program. Most of these markets are kind of flat. They didn't really move much. Mm-hmm. They weren't up much. They weren't down much. And I'm assuming but that means they have people, they look at these markets and they think they are anticipating events, and they have factored in whether or not the interest rate is going to go up or it's not going to go up. And that's already been adjusted. The market is not volatile at the moment, right? Maybe because they've got it factored in and they're kind of sitting to see, will there be a 0.25% interest rate hike or not, Melody? It seems inconceivable that the Federal Reserve would not increase the interest rate on Wednesday. It seems just about inconceivable because Janet Yellen has been pushing that idea for a month now. She's forced everyone to accept the idea this is going to happen. But everybody's debating, could she be trying to fool us? What do you think the chances are that she could raise it more than 0.25%? There's another bizarre possibility, Melody.
I don't think the markets would be able. She's going to do 0.25%. Because we're even surprised.
No, that's
because we're even surprised that with these rates moving up, that the economy just can't absorb these higher rates. I mean, we've already seen things that have been affected. You know, people do go out if they think rates are going higher. If they're going to buy a home and so forth, they want to do it sooner than later. If they think rates are going up, or they just don't, and it takes them out of the market because they can't afford the payments anymore. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that would impact the economy. I mean, we all know that. You know, they're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, there's economists that are saying, you know, they can't raise rates at all because it's going to undo the economy. So we look like, is it 3% that makes the – but we're a far cry from, you know, I mean, she raises a quarter point. She's only at, what, 1%? So, well, I don't know, you know, so – You know, again, the markets are so rigged, nothing is real.
Some things have to be real, because if they weren't, the Federal Reserve would not be pussyfooting around the way it does. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's the dance of the seven veils. Will they or will they not raise? Will it be a quarter of a percent? What is it going to be? You know, there was a time, and not all that long ago, where a quarter of a percent would be a yawner. Who would care? Right now, we have people sitting on the edges of their seats saying, oh, my God, what if she doesn't raise it? Oh, my God, what if she raises it more than a quarter of a percent? Everybody's rattled, and not everybody's rattled, but they are wary, anxious, cautious, whatever. But it's simply evidence that a lot of people believe the system is fragile. And a little thing like a quarter percent raise could have dramatic consequences. And that's what we're kind of sitting around waiting to see. What's really going to happen? Is this a black swan event that could have some radical consequences? Or is it just another minor, another day in the, you know, another day at work?
You know, I think the markets have already factored in a quarter point, you know.
I think so, too.
So, you know, even as far as gold goes, you might have a temporary reaction to it, but I really think this is a non-event. I think we're at the point where this rate increase, maybe another increase, might be a non-event, because there's so many other things going on that are events, that it's just, you know, the rate increases just might be hidden in all the other
facts. Oh, I agree with that, but there are other things that are happening. There's a certain amount of policy uncertainty in the world. This is something from the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development report. They said in part the system is facing falling trust in national governments and lower confidence by voters in many countries' political systems, and that makes it more difficult for government to pursue and sustain the policy agenda. Well, we're going to run out of time here, so I guess we're going to have to take a break, and we can return and talk a little more about France, Germany, and the Netherlands. There's a bunch of things that are actually happening in March. We'll be back to talk more about the Ides of March and March in general in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we had that nice little package on Friday for $2,400, the 1 ounce American Gold Eagle, the 1/2 ounce Gold Eagle, the 1/4 ounce, and the 1/10 ounce. They're all American Gold Eagles and includes all your shipping costs for $2,400. So it's a great buy. You get some fractional pieces. You get almost 2 ounces, 1.85, almost 2 ounces for $2,400. So it's a terrific buy because of the fractional pieces and it includes your shipping costs. So dates will be different. I'm not going to match up all 2017s or all, you know, 2016s. I'd have to charge you more. So they will be beautiful coins. Brilliant uncirculated coins. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And these programs are broadcast live from the website and, of course, the archives. Outdoor retailer Gander Mountain, they're filing for bankruptcy, closing 32 stores nationwide. As they prepare for a quick sale by mid-May. It's a Minnesota-based retailer said that the Chapter 11 protection will also for the sale on the expedited basis while protecting the interests of their customers, employees, and other stakeholders. The company released they're experiencing challenges from traffic patterns and shifts in consumer demand, resulting from increased direct-to-customer sales by key vendors and e-commerce. So, another one hits the dust.
Another one bites the dust. And another one down, and another one down. We'll watch and see. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week when stores are under a lot of stress. We had one, we're talking about a number of shopping centers are perhaps going to close because they're losing their anchor tenant, JCPenney's, for example, or Sears, which have that big anchor tenant that brought everybody into the shopping center and generated interest that fed off of the other smaller stores. They're going down in large measure to significant degree. I don't know if it's 50% or more or less than 50%, but significant reason is because they can't deal, the brick-and-mortar stores can't easily compete with the internet sales, right? So they're going to have to close. Now, is this evidence of an economic decline, or is it evidence of a technological shift where people are simply saying, look, I'd rather buy on the internet than go down than fire up the car, spend gasoline, the rest of that sort of thing, to go to town and walk around the shopping center? So it's not necessarily bad news. Maybe it's just technology. You know, a revolution is here, and it's taking place, and probably shouldn't get in the way of it. You know, you shouldn't. It can't be fought, can't be resisted. An idea that's time has come, and maybe it's not necessarily evidence of economic problem. But having said that, it can still contribute to economic problems in this regard. if they close a Sears store down or they close a JCPenney store down, and we're going to have a shop, it'll have an adverse impact on the shopping center, and then they're going to wind up closing other stores down. A lot of people are going to be unemployed. And even if they're not closing down because they're moved by economic circumstances and the economy is going bad or it's going dark or whatever, maybe that's not what it was. Maybe that's not what it is. Maybe it's just new technology. But even though the cause may be new technology, the result is going to be people without jobs. And then we have to sit back and try to anticipate, what is that? I mean, how bad does it have to get before that's a significant problem for the economy rather than just the people who are suddenly unemployed? So we live in peculiar times, Melody. It's hard to know sometimes if the glass is half full or half empty.
Well, if you have gold, it's always half full, right? But anyway, we had a customer send us, we were talking about the Marine Le Pen, the changes in the European, the way people are reacting, and he sent me something. And it's interesting because he sent me this article by Larry Edelson, and he just died a week or so ago. And you know, I'm aware of his writings. He wasn't right all the time. Some of their interesting views on, he worked with Weiss Research and so forth, but I guess he was sick for a year or so forth. But and it is, the article was basically the French election would be the end of the euro, which if Marine Le Pen gets in, as we mentioned on this program several times, she's ready to pull out of the euro and go back to the go back to their own currency. Yep, you betcha. So, you know, I think others would follow too. But in the, what he sent me, what I thought was more interesting was that the there was a report earlier that revealed that Illinois isn't paying the $9.1 billion annual interest payment on its pension debt. They're not going to pay. The Illinois State Pension Fund is underfunded by $130 billion and likely to worsen if the fund managers fall short of the 7% annual return that's already baked into the cake. And so I thought that was $130 billion underfunded.
Like, so they're going to have to take a paper route or something to generate the extra currency that they need to hold that thing together. But the truth of the matter is, I've been arguing for a long time, I've overplayed it maybe for a while, but what can't be paid won't be paid, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing they are broke, right? And it won't be paid. It's not just it can't be paid, it won't be paid. This is another one of those leaves in the breeze that this does not bode well. This is not simply a question of technology has caused a problem and maybe the glass is half empty and maybe the glass is half full. That particular glass is just about completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a problem, although it might not manifest, who knows, for 12, 18 months. I don't know how fast it's going to happen. But just the same, where is the recovery? Where is the recovery? How do we skate around that problem? This one, that's a legitimate problem. There's no debate. What closing shopping centers, Sears closing stores, rest of that sort of thing, yeah, that's a problem. There's no question about it. But when the pension funds are going broke, and you see evidence of that, that's not going to be easily resolved. What are we going to do about it, Melody? Because this will affect people who are elderly right now, unable to get a job. They're depending on that pension. It's not just about people who are going to retire 10 years or 20 years from now. It's about people who are retired. And without that pension, we can assume that some of them are going to have to develop an appetite for cat food or dog food or whatever. But how bad does this have to get before the government has to step in and do something? And what can they do? Print more money? Print more currency? Cause inflation or even hyperinflation? What are they going to do, Melody?
Well, whatever they're going to do, it's not going to be good for the people.
People
are going to lose.
What can they do? That's what they can do. They can print more phony money. What are they going to do? I mean, this is a situation where we are caught in an imbalance that is so profound that this is not a situation where we can make tweak it here and adjust it there and turn a couple of little dials and poke a couple of buttons and everything's going to work out. We are so far away from rationality. Right, with our debt structure, with our monetary system, with the way our economy functions, we have allowed ourselves to be seduced into this nonsense with a currency that is a debt-based rather than asset-based. We did it. We all did it. We were there. I was there. You know, I didn't know what was going on. I was an idiot, like most people are, at least an ignoramus. I didn't understand what was happening, and I trusted the government, but they gave us a pure fiat currency. They did it in 1971. Nobody paid much attention, right? But we're going to pay attention in the near future. The time is coming where right now, people, you talk about what Nixon did in 1971 when he took the dollar completely off the gold standard, disassociated. That, the consequences of that act are going to be well understood, although it might be another 2 or 3 years before the world basically puts the pieces together and say, I think that was wrong when Nixon took us off the gold standard. I think maybe we're having problems because of that. It may take a couple more years before the public gets to this and they understand it, but the time is coming when they're going to understand, and there will be universal agreement that when we went off that gold standard and we went back to a completely fiat currency that was debt-based rather than asset-based. Big trouble, big trouble, big trouble. We'll watch and see, and we will not get out of this trouble until we reach a point where, as a people, we can identify what the trouble is. I mean, we're not going to solve this problem unless we know what the problem is and agree. Yeah, here's the problem, fiat currency. Now, there are going to be all sorts of powers that be that are going to try to argue that another fiat currency will work just as well as the first one, and it'll correct any whatever mistakes. But I'm telling you, Constitution says, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. All right? We should have paid attention. We didn't. We let the government say, oh, we don't. That's silly. You don't need gold and silver coin. The government can manipulate all this and take care of everybody. You watch and see. Day is coming when people are going to look back and they're saying, holy cow, all the time I wasted watching Dancing with the Stars when I should have been reading the Constitution, or I should have been paying attention to what the government is doing to the monetary system. And as a result, here we are, or here we will soon be. In trouble.
President Trump, next month, I believe it's a tentative date, April 6th through Friday, April 7th, is going to host Chinese President Jinping. He's going to host him down at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. And so it's kind of interesting. That they're, you know, it's just a matter of, we knew it was just a matter of time until they got together. And, you know, it's going to be, I think both of them are thinking that they'll be able to outsmart each other, you know, because, you know, China wants to trade.
They don't need to outsmart each other. They need to outsmart their own people. The Chinese government has to outsmart the Chinese people, and the American government has to outsmart the American people if they want to hold their... Because in the end, both of the governments are ultimately threatened more by their own people than they are by foreigners. It's always good to point a finger and say, ooh, look at the boogeyman across the ocean over there. He's the bad guy. But the truth of the matter is, the real danger to the government is not the boogeyman. The boogeyman is an excuse, frequently, for government to take power. And the real problem, what they're always concerned about, is their own people. If they riot at any given time, like really get serious, that's when the government is in a lot of trouble.
But the U.S. wants Chinese cooperation in North Korea and the South China Sea, currency, trade, intellectual property, and more. Administration officials are looking for multiple gives. The president for China is looking. He saw that by talking on the phone with Trump. He got the reassurance on the One China policy that he was seeking, but he is worried about Trump's threats on trade, and he thinks that by engaging the transactional leader, he can head off punitive measures. So, but that's coming, you know, next month. So, you know, just something. It's going to be it's going to be a very exciting year.
Well, I understand, but it is going to be an interesting month. We talked a little about this earlier from the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. They had a report, and again, they talk about falling trust in national governments and lower confidence by voters in many countries' political systems make it more difficult for governments to pursue and sustain the policy agenda required to achieve strong and inclusive growth. Really? And what is that policy agenda? And who is, and what growth, what strong and inclusive growth are they talking about? Are they talking about strong and inclusive growth for each nation's economy, the world economy, for each nation's government, for the fiat monetary system? I mean, they have a problem right now with populism bursting, blossoming in different parts of the world, and it's getting in the way of the New World Order. And when they say, they are preventing the policy agenda that's required to achieve strong and inclusive growth, I don't know that they mean growth of the economy. They may just mean growth of their governmental system. They go on, they say economic policy uncertainty has skyrocketed since Brexit and the U.S. election, but markets have rallied conveniently, ignoring the potential risks. The upcoming elections in France, there will be one, I think, in 8 days. It starts in 10 days now from here. Germany and the Netherlands also pose the risk of a further populist uprising in Europe. However, the OECD's projected growth, again, that's the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, projected growth outlook is still below pre-crisis levels. While the modest economic pickup that we've seen recently is welcome, it would still leave global GDP growth below the historical average of around 4% in the two decades prior to this crisis. Implication, we are not yet hitting on all eight cylinders. You know, there are problems out here that will not be, they're not going to be easily resolved. They're not going to be whisked away with a magic wand. No, really, we do. Then it does indicate that the problem we see in the Sears store and the JCPenney stores and wherever, maybe it is evidence that the glass is half empty, right, rather than half full. We will watch and see, but there's plenty of stuff coming at us. And both in this country and in foreign countries, and not just coming at us, but coming at the entire global monetary and economic system. The whole thing is certainly in jeopardy, and nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, certainly not me, but things could happen. So that's part of the reason we tell you, get yourself some gold, get ready. There may be some significant problems in the near future. Right now, we'll take a break, a couple more commercials. Melody and I are back in a moment. You stay tuned. I need to learn.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. $1,000. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
We were talking during the break about some of the headlines that are out there. You know, you're talking about, you know, you have the Navy, they simulate strikes on Korea, North Korea. You have attack drones to South Korea. You have Japan, warships to the South Sea. You have Duterte is asking their military to tell China the vast ocean area is ours. I mean, if you just look at these headlines, and that's not even talking about what's happening in Syria and Yemen and all these other places, or the people that are so uprising. I mean, there's huge battles going on. Turkey is warning fascist Netherlands will pay. Erdogan compares the rally ban to Nazism. You have the embassies that are sealed off. The Dutch are bracing for elections as Turkey row intensifies nationalism. I mean, it's just like, who cares if the Dow is at 21,000 anymore? Because it's there's so many other things that are developing, that are progressing to these
that are truly important, that aren't fixed,
but also, you know, dangerous.
As long as the markets are rigged. Right. If we accept the idea that the markets are rigged, well, the Dow could go to 25,000 or it could fall to 15,000. And in a sense, so long as it was under control and it was rigged, it wouldn't necessarily be a dangerous thing in either extreme. But when we start talking about conflicts between Turkey and Holland, for example, nobody knows where that's going to go. These things are unstable. What's going to happen in France? What's going to happen in Greece? What's going to happen in Germany? We are looking at things that nobody can really predict very well right now because they're not under control. So that makes things more vulnerable, volatile, dangerous,
and
scary.
It only takes one little thing. It only takes one person. And I told Al, I says, you know what, these headlines, we don't know if they're true or not. But even if they're 50% true, it still places us in a very dangerous, all over the world, not just here, here in the States, and just one little hiccup somewhere could, you know, changes the world. Takes a second.
Yep, it
to
can
change
happen
the
that
world.
Way. I don't know, in World War I, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand of what, Serbia, if I recall correctly, I don't know, seemingly a triviality, right? Not to the Archduke, of course, but it was no big deal. You wouldn't think that could evolve into a world war, and yet that's what's given credit for setting this off. It's like that street peddler in Tunisia that triggered the Arab Spring back a few years ago by dousing himself in gasoline and setting himself on fire because life was too hard for him.
And plus,
that
now,
one man's bizarre act that no one could predict, anticipate. It was just impossible. It just happened, and there was nothing to be done about it. Could not have been anticipated, and yet that thing wound up, that single death wound up with 11 countries, if I recall correctly, that were threatened, and revolutions in three or four of them. But that's the way the world is right now. Fragile, fragile, fragile. One little odd thing. Right? I mean, the street peddler was bad enough that the world went to war, that was ultimately triggered by the death of an Archduke of Serbia, if I recall, if Serbia is correct or not. But in any case, this is a small operator. It's not that big a deal. Right, from a small country, not that big a deal. Not a world war. We had something almost like that triggered by a street peddler. And the reason is because circumstances are right, where people are so fed up in some places that they're doing everything they can to try to hold it together right now. But somebody does something, and all of a sudden, everybody just, it breaks loose, and who knows where it's going to end.
This weekend, there was a Trump rally. Not a Trump rally, but a pro-Trump demonstration close to where I live. And some people were talking about it. And the one comment was, I bet there were all white people there. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, how can... I had to do everything in my power just to keep my cool, because it's like you've got to be, and chuckles. Oh, I bet they were all old white people wearing New Balance shoes.
Did you have your New Balance shoes on?
No, I didn't.
Uh-huh. That's what makes you mad, though. You got a pair.
I didn't have them
on. Don't be criticizing my New Balance shoes.
And I'm just thinking, that is how torn this country is. And,
I know.
And it's just, to me, that is just as racist as what they claim those of us who, you know, would attend are. It's
part of the problem. We are seeing each other in ways that are polarized, and I don't know. We see people, we don't see the individuals. We don't see what's really going on in their lives. We maybe don't even see what's really going on in our lives. We just blame that other guy, that SOB. He's responsible for this. They're responsible for this. Somebody's looking for someone. Everyone seems to be looking for someone to blame. And that's a dangerous, that's an explosive political climate. Because when we're all looking for somebody to blame, we're going to find somebody. The only way out of this mess, this tension, is that somebody's got to get the world economy going again. And if we could get into some economic prosperity where we really thought, hey, I can afford to buy a new car. This is cool. Hey, this is cool. We can buy a new car, get a new house, get a new whatever. All right. If we can rebuild that confidence, then we don't need to be blaming anybody. We can take credit for all the wealth we're suddenly generating. I'm the one who's responsible for all my wealth. That doesn't have anything to do with the government. I'm the one who's earning my money and blah, blah, blah. But we need, the economy needs to be re-strengthened, and it has to get prosperous. And if it doesn't, we're going to see all kinds of trouble break loose. I saw a report on Egypt.
Before you touch on Egypt, the problem with that is you're right. But it won't. Because it doesn't matter if the jobs are there and working and so forth, people can't get ahead because our dollars are worthless, because our purchasing power continues to decline. So give us more wages, give us more jobs, and where are we going to be? We're the squirrel in the cage. We go, 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 but we don't get any further ahead, and that's the problem. So until we get back to some
there's
sort of
be
gold
some
standard,
sort of hope.
It has to be. It won't change.
They have
we
to
might
restore
have
some
temporary,
measurable.
We might have temporary, releases of, where people. But look at our confident numbers. Look at our confidence numbers. Look how high they are.
Yep.
But yet, look at what's going on. So this is what we're going to continue to see. You have this great optimism. People can't spend. They can't. They're not going to go out. They're not going to. They can't get ahead. They're at the same.
Well, maybe you have to count your blessings if you're not falling behind.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not getting ahead, okay, that's unfortunate. Maybe you need to count your blessings and say, but I'm at least keeping my head above water. And maybe that's enough. And part of the reason I say that is because as annoying as circumstances may be in this country, it may be annoying, but they're not bad.
You can't save, just stand where you're at. You can't save.
Well, I get that, but still, it's better than falling behind. All right, I'm just saying, yeah, it's true, you may not be getting ahead, but on the other hand, if you're not falling behind, maybe that's cause for a certain amount of, you know, gratitude. And part of Egypt, a third of the population in Egypt makes less than $1.90 a day. A third of the population. All right, now how many people are in this audience, in this country, that are making less than $1.90 a day? No matter how bad you can talk about it, it is worse. It's annoying here. It's devastating in other countries, Egypt being a classic example, but not the only one. What do you think is going to happen in Egypt? How long can they hold this together when a third of the population is making less than $2 a day? A third of the population. That means another third of the population is probably lucky to make $5 a day. Sooner or later, those people are going to go ballistic. They are going to go postal, and there is going to be big, big trouble in Egypt. And what else is happening in Egypt? Well, of course, one of their tourist industry has pretty much collapsed. People don't want to go to Egypt. Why? Because they're afraid that it's too dangerous. It's too volatile. They don't want to be there when the stuff hits the fan. And that means it's just aggravating the situation. They have less money coming in from tourists. What are they going to do? It's another one of these situations where there is not a solution. Right? It's not where we sit back and some brilliant guy comes down and says, wow, we just have to increase the interest rate and the inflation rate has to be adjusted this way and we will bring in more foreign investment. No, you're not going to do anything. Except hope to God you're not one of the victims when this breaks loose. But it's going to break loose. When? Who knows? I don't know. Could happen next week. Might not happen for a couple of years. But you can't keep millions of people living on $2 a day without expecting that they are going to riot sooner or later. Big time. Revolution. Dead people and so on and so forth. And it's built into their situation. You can see something similar to that probably in Bangladesh. You can see something similar in a number of Middle East countries, African countries, not so much China, certainly not Japan. I don't know that the Asian countries are going to be India. India is not impossible. India, they are under enough stress where they could go ballistic, go postal. They do every so often. The Muslims and the Sikhs and the Hindus go at it every, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I'm not sure how often, when the last time they had their civil war go on over there, but breaks loose every so often. We just live in dangerous times. And in the midst of this danger, it's going to be, who's going to protect you? You know, the good Lord, if you believe in that. And it'll be up to you. Otherwise, I don't think we can reasonably depend on government to provide the protection that some of us might otherwise expect. You've got to shift your own gears, folks. You got to do what's right for you, not necessarily because the world is coming to an end, but maybe because it could. Like being on the Titanic, going through North Atlantic, there's icebergs out there. I think we'll be okay. Maybe, maybe not. It's not a bad idea to get hold of your life preserver and hang on tight. Keep it close at hand. You may need it before the night is over.
You know, someone said to me the other day, turning this economy around is like turning around the Titanic once it started to sink. And that's, it's pretty difficult to turn something around once it's sinking. And you can delay. You can delay the final moment, but certainly it comes along. And I am glad that Trump is in there, because I think he can handle the collapse, and he could very well be preparing for the collapse. I mean, he said before that this country is in a bubble and it's just a matter of time. That hasn't changed since his campaign to where we are today. So I do believe that he is the best person to be in there for any type of financial situation that we face here in this very near future. And
if you want a scary thought, ladies and gentlemen, just imagine that Hillary had been elected. I wonder how many people really believe. I mean, whatever Trump is able to do, whatever he's done, the rest of that, do you think Hillary could have even given us the illusion of hope if she'd been elected? If she was sitting there, would the markets have gone up as high as they have? And I know it's illusion. I don't argue that it's based on anything solid, but at least Trump gave us a little bit of hope. I don't see that happening under any circumstances if Hillary had won the election. And that gives me cause to sit back and say, you know, you got to count your blessings. You got to count your blessings. You may not, you know, the world may not be running the way you would hope when you were a kid and the rest of that sort of thing. We're in for a ride. We are in for an extraordinary ride, and it's going to be difficult and challenging and scary.
As he makes the corrections that need to be made in Washington, and when he hands things back to the states, it's going to cripple a lot of states. And, you know, everybody thinks taxes are going down. Folks, they're not. Taxes never go down. They have only been going higher, and they will because of our system. Sure, we might get some, you know, reprieve from one area of the taxes, but it has to come from somewhere. And as more of the power goes back to the states,
so does the responsibilities.
Yeah. And so do your property taxes, your sales taxes, and everything else are going to go up.
And the states can't spend money out of thin air.
Exactly.
Yeah. We can't spend time out of thin air either, because we're out of time. Melody and I will be back tomorrow, and we'll discuss our financial survival a little more at that time. Hope you'll tune in the meantime. May the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.